Greetings again, brothers and sisters. It's Pastor Bob, and this is your Friday daily respite. Can I get an amen? It's September 10th, and it's episode number 33 of our daily respite series. Amen. And on Friday, we turn to the good Father from New Mexico, Father Richard Rohr, in his daily meditation. As we've discussed before, Father Richard has weekly themes for his meditations, and we catch up with him on Friday. The theme this week for Richard Rohr has been life as participation. Life as participation. And today's devotion is called Participation is the Only Way. Participation is the only way. So let's get settled in. I want you to know I'm broadcasting today from the sanctuary at Vine Street Christian Church. We've gathered up a bunch of monks and brought them in to sing background for us. So that's what you're hearing. And let's take a breath. Just stop and be still. Go ahead. I'll give you a second. Participation is the only way. Richard Rohr says this: some of the most exciting and fruitful thought in recent theology can be described as the, quote, turn toward participation, unquote. The turn toward participation. Religion as participation is a rediscovery of the perennial tradition that so many saints and mystics have spoken of in their own ways. It constantly recognizes that we are a part of something more than we are observing something or believing in something. Again, religion as participation constantly recognizes that we are a part of something more than we are observing something or believing in something. Both the work of the German philosopher Karl Jaspers and the English scholar Owen Barfield, who just happens to have the right first name, have given me a scheme for understanding this turn toward participation. We moved away from deep participatory experience into non-participation, the wilderness, or the null point between original and final participation, in Barfield's words. Today, each autonomous individual is on his or her own, especially those with economic privilege. Roughly, before 800 BC, it seems most people connected with God and reality through myth, poetry, dance, music, fertility, and nature. Although it was a violent world focused on survival, people still knew that they belonged to something cosmic and meaningful. They inherently participated in what was still an utterly enchanted universe where the supernatural was everywhere. Barfield calls this state of mind original participation. What Jaspers calls axial consciousness emerged worldwide with the Eastern sages, the Jewish prophets, and the Greek philosophers, coalescing around 500 BC. It laid the foundations of all the world's religions and major philosophies. It was the birth of systematic and conceptual thought. In the East, it often took the form of the holistic thinking that is found in Hinduism, Taoism, and Buddhism, which allowed people to experience forms of participation with reality, themselves, and the divine. In the West, the Greek genius gave us a kind of mediated participation through thought, reason, and philosophy. At the same time, many mystics seemed to enjoy real participation, even though it was usually seen as a very narrow gate available to only a few. Among the people called Israel, there was a dramatic realization of intimate union and group participation with God. They recognized the individually enlightened person like Moses or Isaiah, but they did something more. The notion of participation was widened to the Jewish group and then beyond. At least for many of the Hebrew prophets, God was saving the people as a whole. Participation was historical and social, and not just individual. It is amazing that we have forgotten or ignored this, making salvation all about private persons going to heaven or hell, which is surely a regression from the historical, collective, and even cosmic notion of salvation taught in the Bible. Remember, God was always saving Israel and not just Abraham. Both the Hebrew scriptures and experience itself created a matrix into which a new realization could be communicated. Jesus offered the world full and final participation in his own very holistic teaching. This allowed Jesus to speak of true union at all levels, with oneself, with neighbors, with outsiders, with enemies, with nature, and through all of these, with the divine. The net and sweep of participation was total. What else could truly good news be? Let us pray. Loving God, you fill all things with a fullness and hope that we can never comprehend. Thank you for leading us into a time where more of reality is being unveiled for us all to see. We pray that you will take away our natural temptation for cynicism, denial, fear, and despair. Help us have the courage to awaken to greater truth, greater humility, and greater care for one another. May we place our hope in what matters and what lasts, trusting in your eternal presence and love. Listen to our hearts' longings for the healing of our suffering world. And let us take a moment, right here, during this daily devotional, a moment of silence, so that each of you may lift up your own prayers on your hearts today. Knowing, good God, that you are hearing us better than we are speaking, we offer these prayers in all the holy names of God. Amen.